No, I'm up. I'm up. I'm up. Are we starting? What is this? Is anybody here? Hello? Oh, guys, nobody's here. This is weird. Finally, just a moment of silence before we start the show. Oh, welcome. This is Smartless.
Smart.
Sean, congratulations on very successful run of your show. You guys have wrapped now, and do we know yet if we are traveling with this huge success?
Yes, we are traveling to the Broadway. By the way, I didn't even tell you guys. There was a reviewer like 3 weeks ago that said, I'm not even making this up. He said, he raved about the show, and it was a really good review.
Of course he did.
Although, before they go to Broadway, they need to remove Sean's plastic wig and his fat suit. Neither of which are true.
No.
No.
Swear to God. I'll send it to you.
No,
and I was like,
Sean.
Wait, that's my real hair. And I'm actually really fat in life.
No, you are not.
No, first
Absolutely
of all, no, you're not.
No. Well, you know my stomach. Plus, I'm wearing those old 50s clothes. So my stomach sticks out.
Oh, well how wait a second. Hang on. This is,
isn't that hilarious?
When you read that, what did you,
wait,
what happened?
Wait, you're not wearing a fat suit?
Sean, honestly, how did you feel? There it is. There's
there
the,
it
cookie,
is.
The cookie bag. What?
cookie bag.
What? How did you feel after you read that?
That's hurtful.
I laughed. What do I care? I mean, yeah.
I have laughed too about reading some bad things about me, but it does leave you a little winded.
I was fine with that. I really, honestly, truly laughed. I think that's really funny that he was thought I was wearing a fat suit and a plastic wig because my hair is shellacked, you know?
Well, I can't wait to see it in New York. Will, I know you'll be there with me.
I'm going to be there. I'm going to 100%. In fact,
hang on, Will. Sean,
yeah.
Is that a glass of milk that you're sipping?
It really is.
Listener, Sean's sipping a squat glass of milk.
Yeah,
and
that's
I don't think I've ever seen anyone literally drink a glass of milk.
Just on its own.
Yeah.
There's no peanut butter sandwich.
Didn't that stop with the little newspaper boys on the corner selling papers for 5 cents? Isn't that the last time I saw a glass of milk being...
Say, mister, over here. Say, mister.
Gee, it's neat to be a newsboy.
Hey, read all about it. Say.
It's a glass of milk. It's ice cold. It tastes so good.
Ice cold glass of milk, huh?
Just something for the cookie pouch down there, huh?
You know what I love?
It's got to go with the cookie. What do you call it? The cookie what?
Cookie bag, cookie pouch?
Cookie bag.
He's just setting a nice base for something for the cookies to plop into, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A warm pool.
A nice pool.
You know what I love about you, Sean? God, you're so simple.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Your guest must be furious at you by now, Will.
My guest, you know what? My guests...
Oh.
Are going to be furious.
Double booking.
If they were shitty people. That was what I guessed for yours.
Hall and Oates.
We're going to keep guessing Hall and Oates until they come on the goddamn show. And, but you know what? These guys make music of a different kind.
Oh.
They make music with their art of a different kind. More of a visual art. These fellas... They like to take ideas, well, they like to write ideas, and then they like to put them up on the big screen.
Oh,
that's right.
A second.
These guys, and they like to do it.
Lord Miller.
They like to do it in every single discipline. They've directed lots of movies that I've done, including
the Lego movie
and Lego Batman. I can't go any longer because you guess it. It's Lord, Lord and Chris Miller. It's
Phil
Lord.
Oh, my God.
Look at them.
Bateman, I couldn't even get into the preamble.
Well, who else is there? There's only two that know how to write
Hall
it and
Oates.
Put it up on the screen in its glorious
Hall and
form.
And us. And
how do you guys respond to that you're the Hall and Oates of film?
Yeah,
I take that as a huge compliment.
I got so excited for 2 seconds when I thought I was Hall and Oates.
Wait, which one would you be?
Yeah, which one would you be?
Ooh.
I'm gonna go with Daryl Hall.
Daryl Hall and John Oates. Oates.
Yeah.
Daryl is the Hutch, not the Sarsky. Which one's Starsky?
Daryl has the blonde hair, and Oates has the mustache.
Okay, so John Starsky. Who's who then?
Yeah, it would be tough.
I mean, you guys are both dark hair.
Neither one. I guess I can grow a mustache easier, so I guess. But you have the curly hair, so like that's the most.
It's a real dogfight.
Yeah. Let's take more time with this. Just let's not rush into the answer.
Hey, by the way, Jason, why don't you say that for your podcast, Grinding to a Halt, which starts next week on Wondery.
It dropped it.
What a
gentlemen,
burn.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I don't know how you find the time to spend a silly 60 minutes with us.
Yeah, why are you guys, where are you right now?
We are in our office that is, we finished the week of March 2020 and never actually worked out of. And it's our first day here in the office. So
is that a true story?
Yeah.
True story. It's been awesome to pay the lease on this for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
How weird.
Now, for the last 2 years, you guys have been doing what you do remotely, or are you guys going over to each other's houses?
We did like partially remotely. The things we've been working on recently are the sequel to Spider-Verse, which we've been going in on a couple days a week. And then we've been making this show, The After Party, for Apple TV Plus. And we shot that for real in person with real human beings.
Now, do you guys prefer to be on the set and directing stuff and mixing with folks? Or do you prefer that more typical sort of life of a writer where it's just the two of you at a shared desk, looking at each other, pitching ideas, typing?
That's right. Arm in arm.
One arm over Chris.
I do the left side of the keyboard. He does the right side of the keyboard.
Oh, my God. That made me think. Don't you hate it when you go to a restaurant and you see that loving couple and they're on the same fucking side of the booth and they're sitting face to face, they decide to sit hip to hip on the same side,
you know,
looking
what,
out at the restaurant, letting everyone see how fucking in love they are.
Hey, Jason, you know what? Do you know how much Amanda would give for you to sit next to her at a restaurant for once?
Forget it. It's not happening.
I'll read you the text.
You know, I didn't even dance with her at our wedding, you know?
Excellent.
Is that true?
That's how allergic I am to dancing. I'm a serious non-dancer.
Well, then all I want to ever see you do is dance now.
I'll have to start drinking again for
you're
that.
You're not allergic to... No, it's just... That's ego, man. I mean, if we're gonna strip it away, that's just all ego. And Phil and Chris want to talk... We all want to talk to you about it. This is an...
Yeah, that's why we're here.
What's happening?
I think, Phil, did I meet you once before at a... No,
at
no
like
reaction.
Michelli's or something.
No, at it was at Marino's.
At Marino's.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. Which is right near our Lego offices. That was like our special treat. They would let us out and let us walk 3 blocks in the
It was so nice to come up.
What
and
happens
say hi.
At Marino's?
Caesar salad.
It's still there. Marino's is great on Melrose.
It's great.
Melrose. Yeah.
It's super old school. Very fun. Like kind of like Red Booth Italian restaurant.
Oh, and they mix a Caesar in front of you. One of those.
They mix a Caesar in front of you. A Mexican
really
dish.
They really do. And then the guy will come out every once in a while and go like, "Hey, listen, it's not a
Mexican dish."
No, but he'll come out and he'll go. Listen, it's not on the menu, but I'm gonna let you know we got a nice fresh brajol that we just made, a beautiful brajol. For real. And right, Sean? And they'll bring it to you. I was there with Jimmy Valli years ago, and the guy's like, "We got this fresh brajol. Don't tell anybody." Like it's a state fucking secret. You know? Brajol. I'm going to hit socials on this one. Phil and Chris, so, you know, Jason, he mentioned, so would you rather be in a room or, you know, arms linked on a keyboard? Talk to us about how you guys started. I mean, that's what you still do, but that's how you guys started writing together. How did that happen?
Where did you meet?
How did you guys start writing together?
We met in college, our freshman week. Somebody said, "Oh, I know someone just as weird as you."
Mm. What school?
At Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire.
Beautiful, beautiful time. Phil convinced me to take an animation class, and we started making student films, and somehow got our way making Saturday morning cartoons back when that was a thing that still existed.
Wow. Sounds like you guys were crushing a lot of ass in college.
Oh my God! Let me tell you.
Talk us through some of that.
Oh man, I tell you, the ladies love a couple of cartoonists doodling away in a studio.
Oh, I so wish I could do that.
Hey, you guys almost done with that pen?
Just the wrist control.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
Now, did you go to school for that? Or did you guys have a plan?
I was a government major, so I mean, it was sort of a thing we were doing on the side, is making films and stuff.
What's the difference between a government major and a political science major?
It's the same thing. That's what they called it there because they have to be weird.
Oh.
Right. Right, just to be different.
Are you still really into politics? Not that we're going to get into politics, but just curious.
I am still into politics. It's very infuriating.
And do you enjoy sort of like trying to Trojan horse in some political sort of messages maybe in some
Don't
of your stuff?
Don't answer that. Don't answer that. Protect your business. Protect your business.
Blink. Just blink.
I think everything is political in
right?
the world.
That's right.
That's right.
What an outrageous statement.
I tell you what.
So when you guys first started like making shows and stuff, how did you know you clicked? Just the same sense of humor, the same sense of kind of like, what's the thing where you're like, oh God, this guy's funny or cool?
When we were in college, when we met each other, we felt like kindred spirits. We both loved, you know, Harold and Maude and Steve mm-hmm. Martin movies and all this other stuff. Yeah. And we all just had like the same.
And there was no Fox affiliate in Hanover. So Chris's sister would mail VHS tapes of The Simpsons.
I worked with Chris's sister.
That's right. You did.
Oh, yeah. Really?
She's so sweet. Please tell her hi.
Time out. What?
Yeah. She worked with us at Aggregate back in the Universal days.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say awesome. She worked wow. on that Ice Capade special you did with Alyssa Milano that Kimmel sent us the other day.
You know, she read for it. She got pretty close. We had her back a few times.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
I'll send it to all you guys. Kimmel sent it to us the other day.
Bitch. No. I had a real heavy sweater on. You guys are jokingly saying that you were weird in college, and I was pretty weird at that age as well, as I think we all were. Anybody was. We all go through our awkward periods, and we all think we're kind of funny, and we've got like this odd sense of humor. But there's a big spread between that and actually being able to like make it and use that in a way that actually brings success and futures. And how did you guys get from being, you know, kind of awkward, funny, smart guys at Dartmouth to being up there on top of the mountain? I mean, I'm sure it's a long answer, not longer than the question, but let's hear it.
What a fucking journey. I had to go put my winter clothing in the basement.
I went to Vegas seasons. And won a few slots and came back.
You assholes.
Yes.
Guys?
Well, go ahead.
Irrational confidence?
Yeah, I think that was, we were in San Francisco. I was doing an internship at ILM, and Phil came to visit me, and we took a hike to Coit Tower and looked out over San Francisco,
so
famous for beautiful movie making, or maybe it was the wrong city, but it was the right state. And we were like, let's go try to make it in Hollywood. And we decided then there.
You had an actual moment. First of all, Sean, tell Tracy what ILM is.
It's Industrial Light and Magic, which was George Lucas's company, and they do all the special effects for all the movies of all time.
Right. So you guys are up there, and you're like, you have this moment, you're inspired, and you guys are looking out, and the sun is...
Yes.
We had like a movie moment.
It was very romantic.
But at that point, you guys had been working on, you'd made some cartoons.
Yeah, I want to know that.
Yeah. What were those first cartoons?
We made, in my dorm room, we made two short films that we hand animated. One was like a self-portrait that I did called Self Mambo, which is fine. And Chris's was called Sleazy Goes to Hell.
Yes, and then I had a character named Sleazy the Wonder Squirrel who was in the comic strip I did for the Daily Paper.
Yeah.
It was, you know, this really sophisticated humor.
We were the only people in the class who liked jokes.
Yeah.
So these are sketch, now is it like a flip book? Is that how you kind of like did the film?
Yeah, we shot it on a 16mm camera frame by frame, and then...
Wow.
It was the olden days.
Yeah. It was a Bolex that was just pointed at the floor with duct tape on the legs and like, you know, the thing would jam.
And you do like one little sketch that moves the hand a little bit more.
Exactly.
And then another piece
Very
of paper.
Very tedious. Thankfully never have to do that again. Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. So you guys do that. You quite literally start in sort of the most basic form of animation. You guys are just doing it by literally by the numbers.
Really earning it.
Earning it all the way through. Then you guys go and you do a bunch of series and you do Clone High. You do all these great things. And then you do Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which we'll get to in a second.
Right. And just for just since you're doing that, Will, for Tracy, it's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, the Lego movie, 22 Jump Street, right?
Yeah. So what I was going to get to was, and kind of what Jason said, like, when did you guys know that you were cool and kind of shed all that stuff? It's almost like what I realized was, did our appetites or people's appetites for what you guys do change? Or did you guys change the appetites by the stuff that you guys were doing? I feel like you guys have been really consistent in what you do. And it's taken a while for people to catch up with, hey, these guys are doing something really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were super ahead of our time. And obviously
way ahead of our time. Visionaries.
We're actually talking to them in the future right now.
I know that you'll never say that about yourself, but I think that you guys are. I've known you guys for a long time.
I think that's totally fair.
You, Will. Yeah. I mean, we spent, 8 years working on sitcoms before we really ever got to make our own thing. And so we got to learn a lot from a lot of great people. And
we got better, yeah. I think. I mean, if you look at our student films, they're
very bad.
They have moments.
Yeah. But I think that the thing that we always had was we didn't want to do something that had ever been done before. And so we were always trying to figure out, how do we do something new? How do we do something that I haven't seen a million times before? Because there's so much crap out there. You need to find a way to differentiate yourself. You're just making something to make it. It's boring.
But when did you guys notice that you had been embraced either by the community or the public or maybe both, such that you knew that your humor would be accepted?
Translate.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, it's a Lord Miller thing. So anything that feels subversive or I feel like I should be laughing, but I'm not yet. And the audience felt like, well, I just need to catch up. I need to be a little bit smarter. Sort of like, it's like the Radiohead thing, right? Like, Jesus, I cannot tap my toe to this song, but I know it's my fault and I got to get with it.
If I listen to OK Computer one more time.
I mean, that's where you guys sit.
Thank you, I guess.
That's very generous. I think we're just sort of like too blockheaded to change.
I just think it's awesome. There's a brand there, that people just like, oh my God, their humor is super duper smart, and it is something
and
different.
It takes a long time for me to get it because it must be funny because it doesn't seem like it's funny right now. Is what Jason
said. It's your fault if you're not laughing. That's what we want the audiences to say.
We'll be right back.
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream. My Mochi Ice Cream. And I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free, and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service, so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And now back to the show.
So you guys worked on sitcoms. You guys were and tell the audience what shows you guys worked on.
Well,
not to brag.
Primarily.
There was a Luis Guzman sitcom called Luis. Louis.
Yeah. But we actually, the one that anyone remembers is How I Met Your Mother, which we did, we worked on the first season of.
Right. So you guys worked on that show. And I would say, again, would you think that that experience of working on a show like that in with a big writer's room, did that help you hone mm-hmm. how you told jokes in movies? Because I love those writing room experiences.
They're great, and they teach you so much. You get so many at-bats in a room full of funny people. You get to absorb a bunch of different points of view on writing and comedy. You have this amazing safety net where you could try things out, and people help you, save you from your worst instincts, right? And it's so collaborative, and that's the part that really helps you when you're making movies, is that there's a class of filmmaker that's like a genius that you should not mess with. And they just like, it comes to them from Zeus, and then they put it on the page and on the screen. And that is not us. Our thing is much more like, let's find it, let's make mistakes. And especially on an animated film, but on any movie, you're just, you know, you're getting the benefit of all these smart filmmakers that are part of the crew and part of the cast. And that experience in those writers' rooms really helped us.
And it's allowed us to be flexible, you know, and be open to ideas from everyone. And, you know, and part of the thing is to get a great cast of people who can also provide stuff. You know, working with Will was awesome because I was able to, talking about Will Forte and Will Ferrell.
Oh, right. Yes. Forte. Fantastic.
Give you a lot of options and, you know, and then we just did the show, the after party, where it was just full of a bunch of funny people and they all were able to bring a lot of stuff. And that openness that you learn in the writer's room, to like, following the best idea was a great training ground.
I think the other thing that really helps you is that you're also trained to listen for the audience and whether they are laughing or engaged. Right. And that ethic is really important to our filmmaking process. You know, just understanding what it's like to sit in a theater and experience people's vibe while they watch it, and respecting that enough to go, okay, it's not that these 500 people are dumb. It's that we failed to convey our idea.
Right. And to give and to leave room for them to appreciate it too, in that way that there is a kind of a rhythm between you and the audience, that it is a show, that you're not making the jokes to make yourselves laugh. You're making it to be funny and to be entertainment, and they have to be able to have the room to enjoy it and engage. You talked about all these people. You guys are such great collaborators. Not only are you a collaborative team yourselves, but you guys have collaborated with a lot of people over the years, multiple times. One of the, for example, I remember I'm one of the only people, a few people who've seen the great pilot, I think, that you did with the Lonely Island Boys before they did SNL called Awesome Town.
Oh, yeah.
Which was so funny. And I remember thinking, like, what the fuck is this? And who are these guys? It was so crazy. Now, of course, it wasn't going to get picked up because it was way too insane.
But we held a grudge about them not picking it up for quite some time. We made that thing. We tried to sell it to Fox and then MTV. Nobody wanted it. And then suddenly, five months later,
Lazy Sunday happened.
Giant sensations, and Andy was hosting like the MTV Movie Awards.
Andy Samberg, yeah.
Yeah, and Phil kept texting all of the MTV execs who passed on the show, going like, whoops.
Here is a 50-foot-tall billboard of Andy out of Hollywood and Highland.
The one that got away.
It was so, yeah, I just thinking like, these guys are ahead, once again, ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. You guys worked with Forte so many times over the years on lots of different projects. As somebody who we all know, and it's like, it took a while for America to go like, but you guys were like, Will Forte's the funniest fucking guy ever. Yeah. And then you're proved right. Again, yeah, as we all know it.
Do you guys, in order for your sensibilities to line up, did you find out as you guys were getting to know each other in college that you had similar upbringings?
We really did, actually. We both were really short in high school and grew late. And so we both had like a very similar upbringing, weirdly.
We can't relate to winners.
That's right. We always feel like the little pipsqueak in the corner.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry to break it to you, but don't look now.
You do both seem to, like, I can't imagine you guys ever getting in an argument. What is the one area where you guys go, let's not talk about it?
Here's the biggest fight we ever had.
Yes.
The biggest fight we ever had is over the shape of Abraham Lincoln's nose.
On the show Clone High.
In Clone High. This is Will Forte's character.
We got him a SAG card to voice because we thought he was a funny guy.
Forte was a very funny writer at that time, and we had seen him at the Aspen Comedy Festival where he did a sketch where they just said the phrase, "Ain't no party like an Otis Day party, because an Otis Day party don't quit," for 10 minutes with different inflections. Which was brilliant.
And the most Forte type.
The most Forte jump. Idea of all time.
So
he was still, I think he was doing Groundlings and did the Goldman sketch.
Goldman is the greatest sketch.
Well, what's the Goldman sketch?
The Goldman sketch, can you guys describe it?
It's really not family friendly. It's not
you have
it's
to super describe
friendly
it.
Friendly, but, you know, so it's he's on stage. He's in full gold makeup like he's one of those robot men, performers. And
they have to do this sketch. It has to be the last sketch of the night for two reasons. One is that the gold paint takes hours to get off.
Yeah. Okay. And the other is, well, you'll see, is that someone puts a dollar in his thing and he starts singing this song called Heart of Gold, where he's explaining about his life. And then it ends up devolving into this thing about how he sucks cock for his face paint. And then it just... becomes, he just keeps going, I'll suck off for my face paint.
It's a lot
cock
of the word
face
cock.
Paint.
And what happens is the room starts to clear.
Because it goes for like, also like 10 minutes.
It goes forever. And then people just decide they're going to leave.
Right. Worst case scenario is they're going to miss maybe the last sketch or the last two sketches.
So
right?
That's why really they funny. Had to put it at the end.
Right.
Yes.
It's one of the crazy, funniest fucking things you've ever seen because it comes out of nowhere. because at first he's, if I remember correctly, in the sketch, well, different times, but he'll get kind of, the guy puts a dollar in. I saw him do it with Sudeikis once when they did that never aired live SNL at UCB during the writer's strike and whatever. And he's like, puts a thing in, he's trying to get him to move. And then he finally starts, and then he just does it to, he's not even doing it to the characters, he's doing it to the audience. I saw a car for my face, babe. And he just breaks into that.
I love that the character is so like, Just hearing that for the first time, I'm thinking how important that face paint is to that character. That dude, he would do anything to obtain it.
Of course, it's incredible. And it's so forte. Now, look, I know that you guys don't fight, but we've never fought. But we have to bring it up because I don't know if these guys know. Let's talk about the time that you guys fired me.
Oh boy, yes,
is that true?
It is true. A true story. We did.
Talk
have
slow.
To, yeah,
let's hear it.
Jason really wants to save her.
Yeah, we had cast Will for the lead in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. It's true. Yeah.
Well.
And the studio did not think he was the right voice. They thought he was too old, too
sounding.
Thank you, Bill.
For the character.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He sounds, now I get this, right? Like, so his voice is so, and listen, this is why the guy sells trucks that are professional grade. Like, fucking Hader couldn't sell a truck, you know, but Hader could, you know, sell something a little bit more sensible, a little bit more economic, like.
He could sell a funny truck.
So tried to prove everyone wrong and be like, you don't understand, he's really funny. He's great. He's vulnerable. He's wonderful. He's fantastic. And we tried, and they said no.
I will say that this is 100% on us because we had like a first act screening that went great, and then we put the whole movie together
with Arnett's voice in that screening.
With Arnett's voice,
with Will's voice,
me and Amy,
and you and Amy,
and
we put the whole movie together, and. It sucked. And the reason the whole movie sucked
animatic.
Was because, like, we were good at making you pay attention for 20 minutes at a time. But when you have a whole movie, if the audience can't really root for the main character and get on board, I don't care how funny it is, they go to sleep. And what was going on is, like, every five-minute sequence was, like, a really funny sequence unto itself. And then strung together, you're like, what is this
didn't
about?
Care at
Why
all.
Do I like these people? Right. And what am I rooting for? Anyway, and what's emotional about it? And we're like, doesn't matter. It's real funny. And the audience just wouldn't go there. So, and the studio basically blew the movie to bits. And we're like, start over.
I remember where I was. I was on Motor, right by Rancho, right by the swimming pool there, just south of the Fox lot when I got the call.
Just looking for lost balls, you know?
Yeah, I was just picking up
some shag balls.
Picking up shag balls from Hillcrest Country Club. And I remember, I was on the bag. I was just doing a loop that day.
Yeah, sure.
I picked up and... I remember getting the call, and Amy was back in New York, and I pulled over, and I go, well, looks like we both got fired from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. She's like,
oh, Amy got fired too?
Oh, it was a team fire.
They fired both of us. Yeah, it was a team fire.
It was a whole movie blow up. It was a set time. And so then years later.
That's bad.
Oh, go finish your story, Will.
So we didn't talk for a long time. That was like the last time these guys were really sweet. And they're like, we're so sorry and that this is happening this way. And I was like, okay, cool. And like, it's hard not to, no matter what the circumstances, when you get fired, it's hard not to be like, I get it. And I get this. And they kept putting, again, very kindly, like, it's on us. And the movie, and I was like, okay, and it's hard not to like go like, yeah, they say that, but it's really me. I'm terrible, and I'm the worst.
No. But years later, when we were making the Lego movie, we were like, you know who would be perfect for Batman is Will.
Oh,
but then
there you go.
We were like, he may not want to talk to us again. And so then we went to the studio and said, we want to hire Will, but we have a thing. No matter what, he has to stay this part.
No way.
We cannot fire him no matter what happens. If you fire us, that's fine. You got to keep him on. And
we had to run it all the way up to Jack Warner.
That's right.
Yeah, they dug up Jack Warner.
Jack Warner.
Wow.
And got him to sort of nod, Weekend at Bernie's style.
Now, when you guys are...
Let me just finish that story to say this. So these guys call me up. I remember at the time, Sharon, my agent at the time, she called me. She's like, Phil and Chris want to call you. Don't hang up. And she's like, they have something they want to say to you. And she didn't tip it. And these guys are like, listen, so we're going to do the Lego movie. Do you want to play Batman? And I was like, I don't even get that sentence. I don't know what the Lego movie means. Like, what are you talking about? And then they walk me through it. And I remember, this is my recollection of it. So we go, we make the movie.
Oh, my God. And didn't Michael Cera play Robin, too?
No, that was in Lego Batman.
Yes.
Which we made three, we ended up making three movies. And these guys, I remember we go in, the first couple times we're at recording at Warner Brothers. And I've, you know, you do a lot of things where you work on that are really fun, especially in person, they're really fun. Making animated movies can be quite an isolating experience and not that much fun. But these guys were in the booth. Some of the hardest laughs I've ever had in show business were in my life, forget show business, were in the booth with these two guys.
I love that.
Laughed so hard. At one point, we were doing this scene about Batman. You guys remember, know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah.
About Batman. What? Tell me what the line was that he said.
Was it the thing about he has like a crippling need to party with other people?
With complete strangers.
Strangers.
Wait, so it's also, you guys are laughing about stuff that you couldn't possibly use in the movie. Is that right?
I think we used that bit. Part of it.
He was trying to explain why he was like...
Why he abandoned everyone to go party with a bunch of strangers.
Oh. It turned out he had a crippling addiction to partying with complete strangers.
Yeah, he was positioning himself as the victim. Right. Which was amazing.
It wasn't rated R, was it? No.
No, the Lego movie? No.
But it was adjacent, was it not? Was it PG-13?
No, it was very PG.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
PG. Yeah. But anyway, so just to tie this up, so I remember we did that. I had so many amazing times laughing with these guys, and they're just the funniest, and all the stuff that they pitched and would say to me in the moment, because there'd be the script, and then one of them would be like, say this, say this, say this. And we just had so many great, amazing moments, and their brilliance was incredible. And then we go, and the movie comes out. I remember that night, and these guys go, we go to that bar in Santa Monica. We all had dinner. Do you remember?
Another weird Italian restaurant, Vito's, and the returns
start coming in on the movie, and it's just doing better and better. Like every 15 minutes they're like, no wait, it's gonna make this. And then I was like, this is so crazy. And then they say to me, they go, hey, how would you feel if we made a Lego Batman movie next? And this is like on the night of this like total victory, like,
opening night.
I'm like, yeah, I guess. And they're like, yeah, the studio wants to do it. I was like, are you kidding? And so like, and then I said, and I don't know if you guys remember, I go, I'm really glad that Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs did not work out.
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason, for sure.
It was the best.
Now, when you guys write an animated film, you obviously have to wait to have all the animation done. That happens after the voices are recorded. Is it a different process for you guys doing that versus, because you have to rely on, you guys aren't still doing the animating, right? The animation?
Right, no, we're not. We don't. We have much more talented artists.
So the whole half of the movie, you have to rely on a whole different set of creative contributions, different than what you can sort of control and guide on a live set, right? How different is it for you?
Yeah, in a funny way, it's the same skill set, which is you're trying to create an environment where everyone you're working with can thrive and bring something of themselves to it. So, you know, it's either in the booth with really talented guys like you, or you're in a sweat box, you know, watching footage with a bunch of animators in a room, and like each person's worked on a shot for weeks.
So
you're just talking about like one moment of like Flint Lockwood sipping coffee and trying to figure out what would be the funniest, most interesting way for him to do that.
But how do you articulate to an animator how to draw something that matches your sense of humor? Like, you guys are so great with some of your dry humor too. Like, how do you talk to an animator about making the eyes sort of be half-lidded and the characters kind of over it? And like, that seems like a hard thing to be able to manage every frame.
Yeah, because it seems like you'd have to hire animators who are funny people as well.
Exactly. Right. You do. And I think that's part of being a good animator, is being able to do that. You're doing half the performance, you know. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the voice and imagining what it might be. And as a director or a producer, you're doing, it's the same thing as working with the actor. It's just in a much slower process.
Do you audition those animators? Like, do you look at their stuff and go, oh, that person knows how to draw
You
dry.
End up casting, you cast the animator to the shot, where you're like, I think this person can do a good job on this bit because this thing is really easy and really straightforward, or this one is one that like needs a little subtlety, or this one, there's this one person and she's amazing at this type of comedy.
So you hire a team and then you kind of delegate. You do the love scene, you do the action scene, you do the dry humor
scene. It's shot to shot. So you get like 50, 60 animators and usually
at minimum. Yeah. I mean, these days you're getting hundreds.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll be right back.
We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that I, this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half, even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great-tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. And do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man.
Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, back to the show.
How many times, can you think back now of moments where you've just standing there in front of an animator and you're acting out what you want?
Sometimes that definitely happens.
On Cloudy, where you know, a lot of stuff now happens in Vancouver, so you're usually working remote. But on Cloudy, we were all in a room with, you know, 60 people at a time. And so, yeah, you would stand up and go like, what if Flint, you know, types like a Muppet,
yeah.
like this. And the most people are like, scratching their heads going, who are these clowns? But every once in a while, like, there'll be one person go like, yeah, I got that. I totally get what you're laying
But you also want to be open to everyone else's ideas. And once the team feels like they can pitch something and it'll get into the movie, as long as you give them like the direction of the tone, mm-hmm. and you show them what success looks like, everyone wants to get on board and jump in. And it's just like, you know, having a really talented cast of improvisers that can like, okay, I know what we're going for. I know the tone. I know the vibe. I know if I say this, it's going to be on the cutting room floor. But if I say this, it has a chance of making it into the show. Mm-hmm.
Are you guys a fan of anything of current animation now? Do you watch those shows? Are you like, I'm in it. I can't watch it. I'm too, it's my life.
I come and go. Sometimes I can't. I have to only watch like things that we can't possibly make,
right?
Like a drama, or a docuseries or something. But the cool thing about animation these days is there's so much great work happening, and it all looks different. Mm-hmm. And it we're in a golden age where people are trying wild stuff.
Yeah.
And on the feature side, which is generally a little more conservative, it's starting to get really wild, which is, you know, we feel good about.
I find that hard to believe that there's something that you guys can't do, and I know you're being modest, but, I mean, you guys shift pretty seamlessly between live action and animation. Certainly, in comedy, and you guys, it's what you do, but you've done it with such great ease. I kind of wonder what... Because you guys do, like, you do the Jump Street movies, and then you do Lego, and then you do Spider-Verse, and then you do the After Party. What are those moments where you guys look at each other and go, all right, it's time to do an animated movie? Or do you have those, or is it just as stuff becomes...
Yeah, how do you decide what to do since you can do so much?
I mean, clearly we just never say no.
Yeah, we need to say no a little bit more.
And it's all happening at once, and I can't say there's any calculation or thinking about like a filmography or a strategy like that. We're literally just going like, oh, we had that idea 2 years ago. How are we going to get that up on its feet?
Right.
You guys had even though you met in college, you had different, you're from different parts of the country, obviously. Phil, you grew up in Miami, is that right?
True fact.
Do you still have a connection?
Go Marlins? Go Heat?
Go Dolphins.
Oh,
because nice. I grew up, I'm old, an old fart who grew up before there were Marlins or Heat.
You love Dan Greasy.
I mean, I'm a huge Bob Greasy fan.
Bob Greasy.
And then then Brian Greasy was my locker mate in the seventh grade.
Wow.
And his son, Brian, is now a broadcaster, but is also a quarterback in the league. And was in the seventh grade, I weighed 60 pounds, and Brian weighed 200 and was 6 feet tall.
Oh my God, the duo Halloween costume options there are exciting.
Really good. Yeah, he wanted me to be a parrot and Arnold was a pirate.
Yeah.
So you were big Mark Clayton and Mark Duper fans is what I'm gleaning.
The Marx Brothers. Yeah. My heart was broken in the one Super Bowl we were in, and then losing to the damn Patriots in 85 was horrible.
It scarred me for life.
It was terrible.
Sports!
Sports, Chris. You have a similar affiliation with sports.
I do. I'm a sports fan from the Great Pacific Northwest. So you know, I'm a Mariners, Seahawks, Seattle Supersonics fan. Haven't been to any Sonics games recently, but I'm excited to get back to those.
And you're excited for the Kraken, obviously, for the big NHL team. The Kraken.
Well, you guys couldn't have grown up further away from one another.
Like the absolute corner of the
diagonal.
Yeah.
So either San Diego and Maine.
Both port cities.
That's right. See,
with a significant illicit drug trade.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Well, first of all, yeah, that's true. But Miami, obviously, it's got Miami Vice, which was pretty great. What's the big?
We had grunge music when I was there.
You had grunge music.
Yeah, you guys had The Killing.
Yeah, we invented overpriced coffee while I was there.
You guys had you had Miami Vice, and Chris, you had Northern Exposure, so that's good.
There you go. That's right.
Chris, how old are your kids, Chris?
They're 13 and 9.
Boy, girl?
They're exactly one of each.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper, match set.
Do they like the movies?
They like the movies.
That you guys make?
Yeah, no, it's a thing. I mean, they haven't seen the Jump Street movies yet, although, you know, they're
13's getting
close
getting
to
ready.
The age.
Yeah.
But they do. They like the movies that we make, and they give notes. They're like, act two is a little slow.
Can you guys do another one of those? Can you
another
direct
Jump
another?
Street?
Yeah, direct another comedy movie. For some reason,
live
they're
action.
Just so friggin' rare.
They've got the After Party.
Got the After Party.
Yeah.
On Apple TV Plus.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a live action murder mystery comedy.
All right.
You know, thanks a lot for making Murderville right around the same time, Will. That was really helpful.
sorry.
Would you guys ever go back to your traditional kind of beginning and do a multicam traditional sitcom?
Like a classic sitcom?
Yeah, would you ever
I mean,
do
if
that?
the right one was there. And
what if the wrong one was there?
The wrong one?
Could you make
we
it right?
Probably, we could do that as well.
Sean's got something he's going to say.
I mean, three guys in their 50s, right?
Yeah. They're listening, yes.
And people, the first thing you're going to say is, these guys are in their 50s? No way.
That's the name of the show.
Guys are in their 50s in Terror Bang.
Or we call it that, or we call it Ring Light, the series. And it's just all,
right. 50 play 35.
You've kind of got the concept probably already. I want to mention, Jason's being also, he's being, I know he's geeking out because Mitchell versus the Machines, we talked about it. And
man, is that good.
So Jason, I'm going to let you loose on the boys because it is a great movie.
I just, you know, you sit there and you want to find some time to gobble stuff up with your kid, you know, and you're searching. Let's give this thing a try. And oh my God, I did not stop laughing. I was certainly grinning the entire time because it was all so fresh, so sharp, so left when you think it's going to go right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Just everything.
That's their hallmark, man.
No, I know, but like I kept looking over at my, I think I watched it first with my 15-year-old and then with my 10-year-old.
What's it called?
Called The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Yes.
And this is a movie you guys did. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we produced
it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And it's just stunningly good. And I was laughing more than they were because it's that smart, that great. Like,
oh, I want to
see
it.
Great
for,
you know, the great
that.
Animated stuff that works for adults and for kids. It's just, that's not easy. I'm sorry.
Well, and then you do, and now you said you're working on another Spider-Verse movie.
It's true.
And it should be noted that, I mean, you guys are dipping in. You're one of the only sort of creatives who have been allowed to dip into DC and dip into Marvel. I don't want to make too big of a deal about it, lest they catch wind.
Double time.
But alas, here we are. And that's Into the Spider-Verse. Man, that movie... You know, you go and you have preconceived notions, and I shouldn't have. I went to see it because I love you guys, and I was like, it's going to be... But at the very last minute, thinking like, how different can this be? And then just being absolutely blown away by that film. I couldn't have loved it anymore. And I don't know. So now I'm thinking, well, you guys are making another one. How are they going to re-break their own mold?
That has been the real challenge, right? Is that, you know, you don't want to just do the same thing. You want the brand is innovation. And so then you're like, well, how the hell are we going to make this thing, you know, different from the
last one.
Is
that what keeps you guys up? Is that the thing that you talk about the most, like, across the desk to each other?
Yeah, I think we, like, that project in particular, you're sort of freaking out going, how do we recreate the feeling of being in the theater watching that movie, which is
to be surprised. and but all of these moves that we already did are off the table. So you're sitting there going, okay, emotionally, what can we do that will feel like a left turn, but still feel like it's, you know, it belongs there.
What about writing something live stage, like a musical, a play, something like that?
We came to, for 2 seconds, there was an idea of a Lego Broadway show that was like, it's getting kicked around.
And we were thankful that that did not happen.
We were like, this seems so hard, which of course makes us want to do it.
Sean, don't say no. The guy could have a prosthetic stomach and plastic hair.
Yes, exactly. A fat suit and a plastic wig.
Think about him. It's Lego. Fat suit.
But that notion of like having to better yourselves each time is that I imagine for any artist that creates things from the ground up, that there is some sort of an onerous thing that would sit with you, like how can I make the next thing better? And do you find that your own taste progresses naturally into a new place of talent, or do you feel like you guys have to push yourselves to continually grow and be even funnier and be even more sort of subversive, or does it just happen naturally that your taste just develops?
I mean, it's sort of both, in that we don't like to repeat ourselves and we don't like to feel bored. And I don't think we do a very good job unless we feel like we're doing something that we haven't done before that feels like maybe that not that many other people have done it before. That kind of drives us. So I think sometimes we'll be sitting there going like, why do I hate this?
Right.
And oh, it's because it just feels like an easy choice. And so we then, I mean,
but
that's
you also
one of
don't
the,
want to be new just for the sake of being new and odd and different. So
and
how
you have
do you
to
balance
build
a, that?
You have to build this on some like fundamentally like universal like relationship things that right. are not new, but every like specific choice has to be different.
And I think that the granular sort of embryo of that process is just the conversation between the two of us. Which is, you know, yeah, I think this thing is really funny, but I'm looking over at Chris and he's just like not having it. So it makes, instead of getting mad and going like, why don't you like it? It makes you retreat and go, okay, how can I make this even better? How do I get it up the hill? And maybe Chris can help me. Like, here's what I'm going for. Well, this is why I didn't go for it, but maybe you could try. And then you wind up building something that neither one of us would have thought of on our own.
It's great having somebody to be like, okay, I'm trying to make this thing that I think Phil is going to like. And luckily, our sensibilities are juvenile enough that we can make things that kids seem to like also. But we're never really...
That's how Sean and Scotty are with lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're both building towards it. They have there's something that they like, and they're like the sandwich and then the tuna and the thing and the chips, and they look at each other.
So
yes.
Look at this. We made it.
Kraft mac and cheese. 2 boxes.
Are you guys proud, as you should be, that your partnership is healthy and that it's harmonious and that you guys still enjoy one another? Because I'm sure that takes as much work and attention and respect as you have when you're in your personal relationships and partnerships as well,
like
right?
I've got 2 marriages that I gotta like juggle all the time. You know, it's like I've got like a family in Arizona that is a secret family. But yeah, so it really is. I mean, the good thing is, you know, if you're building it off of respect and admiration, and if you feel like, oh, this is a person that's bringing a lot to the table that I can't do, and if you admire the person, it's a lot easier than if you're like, oh, this fucking dead weight.
Can you guys identify what one person is better at than the other? Do you guys have clearly 2 different lanes? It seems like there's tons of overlap.
Write it on a piece of paper and show at the same time.
Like, is one person better at story and the other person's better at dialogue?
It would be easier probably if that were the case, but we both have a lot of strong opinions about everything.
Yeah, I think we would never find out if one of us was weaker at something, because I don't think we'd ever be able to admit it.
Right.
But I do think there's sometimes I get a little more frustrated or hot-headed in like a meeting, and nobody cares. But if Chris gets upset, then everyone pays attention.
Because he rarely does.
He rarely does.
I'm more soft-spoken.
So Chris is upset, and we've been in a few meetings where, like, somebody said something that was so appalling that Chris, like, could no longer function. Uh-huh. And I immediately flipped into, like, Mr. Peacemaker,
right.
Mr. Constructive, like, uh-huh. Let's get this together. And I just realized, like, oh, I have that muscle. It's just that it's atrophied because Chris is right. there to pick me up every time I get
kind of hot. It's a perfect marriage.
It really is. This is incredible. And I like the way that you're like, you don't want to admit it to either. This is like it's the equivalent of, like, keeping it hot. Keep it there.
God, you guys are still dating. You know, and then you guys get to make all these little babies together.
Ew, don't say it like that. And don't fucking shimmy your shoulders. Yeah,
they're making a cartoon baby this time. And the next time they're making a film baby.
Phil and Chris, God, we could talk to you guys forever. You guys are the best. Thank you for taking time from your new office.
Yeah, go make more good stuff.
Yeah. You guys are so nice. I can't believe you gave us this many compliments. I just expected stern, you know, skepticism.
No. We're fans.
You guys are
We're
it.
Fans. You guys are
really,
fans.
Really nice of you
Thank
to do this.
You guys.
Thank you, guys.
You guys are the sweetest. Thanks for having us.
Chris, say hi to Sissy Pooh.
I will. I'll tell her you said hello.
Thanks.
Boys, thank you so much. All the best on After Party in the second season. Looking forward to
thank
everything.
Thank you very much.
And just thanks.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, fellas. All right. Okay. Have a great rest of the day.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Real good. So when they double dip, when they do DC and then other times they do Marvel or whatever the other one is, do they just maybe switch their, they go Miller Lord instead of Lord Miller, and that way people lose track of them?
I think when they did Lego Movie, there were actually a lot of properties involved in that. It just so happens that Warner Brothers is affiliated with the DC brand.
Yeah, because I think they could just switch their names, just go Miller Lord, and like they'd think it's a different couple, you know?
Well, they had everybody in that. I remember one thing was in Lego Batman, there was a line where I say, what's the password, you know, when he's going into the Batcave, and I said, Iron Man sucks, and they're like, oh, you can't say that.
Sure,
it's going to be okay. I don't think anybody's going to mind if I say. And we had to go and ask. They are, honestly, you know, Jason, you brought up when you go to the movies, especially when you want to see an animated film and you need those guys. Well, that a movie that appeals to everybody, and not in that way of like, hey, you know, the way that executives think, like, it's got to be 4-quadrant because they want to just hit everybody. It's actually really good for everybody. Like, or not just really, like, really, really good. For everybody.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
And it's not like they're doing it in a contrived, sort of deliberate, strategic way. I think they're just that smart, that funny, where there's a little bit for everyone in what makes them laugh.
Yeah. I love their stuff.
Yeah. They're just incredible. I truly meant it. That working on those Lego movies with those dudes.
I can't believe they can do everything. They can do big animated films. They can do live action ensemble comedy stuff like 21 Jump Street. You know?
And then they
do this series, and now they got the After Party, which is a hilarious series.
By the way, it's so smart of them to always zigzag because, like they said, our brand is an invention, or what did they say?
Innovation.
Their brand is... What did he just say?
Is he trying to back into a buy, Will?
No, he's not. This is the first time he's actually legit.
No, he
I can
said
tell the difference.
Our brand is innovative or something like that. Where they you can't label them as one thing, which is so smart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, you know, now I just hang on. I just remember what I'm getting Sean for Christmas.
Is it a half a brain?
It's a thesaurus. No. Oh. Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything wrong in their life. Like, everything seems so great. I wonder, like,
I
do you think they have some real devious problem, like, on the weekends that...
Let's make it up.
They hope nobody ever finds out about...
They double park.
Right. Oh, those sons of bitches. They're the ones that just kind of straddle the line, you know? Because they don't want anyone dinging their door.
No, they don't.
I think they're probably just really good guys. And you know what, guy?
Hang on, guys. If you could see the glint in his eye, if we're such a lazy,
he's so happy.
You know what, guy?
You have to say, you know what it rhymes with. This is fucking even for you. This is so lazy, and I'm going to allow it because I want you to shame yourself. Go ahead.
Well, guy rhymes with bye.
No, that's lazy. It's lazy. You know, it's not, no, you're going to have to stick around and come up with a bigger one.
Yeah, you know what? Let's hang him out. No, we didn't join in. We can't let you have
Let's keep going.
Let's see.
Sean, you know why? Because if I let you go, and if I let that one go today, and then some listeners, you know what that could do? That could come back and bite
you in the ass. Love you both.
Bye. Love you.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Michael Grant Terry, Rob Armjarv, and Bennett Barbico.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.